Chapter 19. As the sun rose, Lyndon and Yaren flew over the rough terrain of Mount Samara. Yaren kept the rosy clouds skimming the rocks, scattering snow as they blasted north toward the ancestor's tomb. Meanwhile, Lyndon concentrated on not falling off. Once he had found a position that he felt he could survive, he slowly began picking through his pack of stolen items. Once they landed, they might not have time to take full inventory. The Thousand-Mile Cloud itself was probably their greatest prize, and Yaren insisted that even Lyndon's Madra was enough to power it, though he would travel much more slowly. According to her, clouds like this were valuable transportation beyond the valley. There were 48 spirit seals in the stack, and they were prepared to use all of them on her master's remnant. But if they had a few left over, the seals would be precious advantages against other remnants in the future. Still, it was best not to count on that. The Sword Sage was their priority. The Star Lotus Bud would help him break through to copper almost immediately, and he had to remind himself more than a dozen times that it would be foolish to eat it now. The ancestral Orris fruit had taken him days to digest, and the Star Lotus should take even longer. The last thing he needed was something in his own core distracting him when he might need to fight. Even so, he longed to swallow at least one petal. Instead, he occupied himself watching the Sylvan River Seed, the little blue flame spirit that danced around in its glass enclosure. The river that spun around the inside of the little tank had remained steady as they flew, neither spilling nor splashing, but the spirit had thrown itself against the glass walls to stare at the passing landscape. Lyndon had asked what the river seed could be used for, but Yaren herself was unclear. They were rare, she knew that, and you were supposed to raise them, or maybe plant them. Either way, she was certain it was worth more money than anything else they'd snatched, including the cloud. The parasite ring was like the Star Lotus Bud, in that it would eventually help Lyndon overcome his deficiencies but wasn't of any immediate use. He added to that the half-silver dagger. His parents had owned a few half-silver weapons, but he'd never had one of his own, and the White Fox boundary flags as the least valuable treasures they'd stolen. The boundary was difficult to obtain, but it also took a long time to set up, and a powerful enough opponent would simply tear through it. He had been lucky to use it against Kazan Madaret. 7 treasures. They were an unspeakable fortune to a Wei clan unsold, but looking at them like this, they were almost disappointing. When he compared them to what they could have gotten away with, had they been allowed just another minute in the treasure hall.
Dragon fever,
Yaren said from the front of the cloud. Lyndon jerked up, startled out of his daydreams.
Dragon?
She laughed into the wind as they skipped off of an outcropping, floating down to land above the ground again.
That's what Master would say. Sacred arts are expensive, and it takes a pile of pills and treasures to advance. It's when you get lost in gold for its own sake. That's the dragon fever.
Lyndon's face heated. She'd seen through him without even looking at him.
I'm not trying to take your share. My contributions pale beside yours, but some of them, I think, might not suit someone of your strength.
No, don't get me wrong. I'm burning up with the fever. I'm just boiling to turn around and scrape that treasure hall clean.
He exhaled, relieved.
This is a bigger fortune than I've ever seen, and for some reason, I'm disappointed it isn't bigger.
Dragon fever, she said decisively. Helps to keep your eyes fixed on one thing. Grab whatever else you can, but don't go blind to what really matters. My master says...
She stopped. Wind whistled by.
My master used to say, distraction kills more sacred artists than enemies ever do.
He couldn't ignore that pause. Having never been trained, he'd never had a master, but how would he feel if his parents had been taken from him? Suriel's vision flashed through his head, Sacred Valley blasted out of existence, and he spoke with real sympathy.
He must have been a great man, even in the outside world.
The spine of the matter is, he only came to the valley for me, she said.
He couldn't see her face, but suddenly he could barely hear her words over the wind.
Wouldn't have bothered coming on his own. It was just a safe place for me to train. But it doesn't matter how strong you are when you're poisoned in your sleep.
By the end, her voice carried the ring of cold steel.
I wish I could have met him,
Lyndon said. It was true, but it was also what he was supposed to say to a grieving relative.
He might have taken you with us, had you asked him. He could be soft that way. But first, he'd have killed your clan elders for what they were teaching you.
Lyndon leaned around her shoulder, trying to catch a glimpse of her expression.
Forgiveness, but what did they teach me?
He crashed into her back as the cloud came to a sudden halt. A massive square building loomed in the distance, set with huge columns and a stone mural of four beasts locked in battle. The whole edifice lurked on the edge of an enormous cliff as though it had done so since the beginning of time.
"The ancestor's tomb," Yaren said, and vaulted down from the cloud. "Master went to the Heaven's Glory in particular just for this. They say it leads down into some labyrinth where even my master couldn't step easy."
Her hand was on her sword, black sacred artist's robes trailing shredded edges in the wind. She pulled the stolen badge over her head and tossed it to one side.
"They poisoned him, and they stabbed him, so he tried to hide in the tomb. Died 2 steps from the door."
She looked back at him, but her scarred face wasn't as cold as he'd imagined from someone seeking revenge. It was etched with grief.
"Last thing he said to me? He told me to finish forming my path. He didn't know he'd be leaving me his own remnant, but he did. Nobody else touches his spirit but me, and that's the fact of it."
Lyndon surveyed the giant tomb. 2 guards had revealed themselves on the front steps, and they would certainly have seen the 1,000-mile cloud by now. One of them raised a hand, sending a flash of gold light streaking into the air. A signal.
"There's not much I can do in a straight fight," Lyndon said honestly. "But I'll help you however I can."
Yaren patted him on the shoulder.
"Yeah, I'm convinced that you will. You've got less choice than a tethered ox."
He cleared his throat.
"I would have helped you without the oath."
"There's a chance you would, but now you won't give up midstream and beg for your life."
Lyndon prickled at that.
"There's no reason for that. I may be weak, but I'm not a coward."
She rolled her arm in its socket, loosening it up for the fight, and she grinned at him over her shoulder.
"Couldn't know that when I made you swear, could I? I trust you more now. A notch more."
At least she hadn't set another trap for him. He sighed and began sorting the Heaven's Glory artifacts into different pockets. He jammed them all into his pack without looking, but now he might need to draw them quickly. One of the guards activated an egg-shaped golden construct that looked the same as the one Rom had used, and the other was beginning to set up walls of gold-tinged glass.
"Now, Wei Shi Lyndon, we live or die together."
Yaren took off in an explosion of snow, blasting forward with a speed only an iron body could achieve. As she shattered the first wall of glass, sending a hot wind billowing out as the glass broke, Lyndon took his time packing up the treasures. He couldn't help until the fight was over, and he wouldn't run headlong into death. If the heavens considered that a violation of his word, so be it. The 1,000-mile cloud wouldn't compress, and he determined that it required a special case to fold up. Since he didn't have one, he fed it a trickle of his madra and dragged it along behind him as he picked his way across the frozen boulders and toward Yaren. It followed like an obedient bird. Light burned a river of steam in the snow, and a wall of glass appeared to block Yaren's counterattack. She was steadily advancing, but the 2 guards and the construct were using every trick at their disposal to keep her at bay. When she flipped in midair to avoid 2 golden beams and then sliced a 15-foot glass wall from top to bottom with sword madra, Lyndon knew it was only a matter of time before she closed the gap. He knew what would happen when she did. He kept an eye on the battle as he advanced, but by the time he reached the bottom step of the ancestor's tomb with his cloud in tow, Yaren was flanked by 2 bleeding bodies and fizzing golden plates that had once been a Heaven's Glory construct.
"Are they dead?"
Lyndon asked. He wasn't sure why. It didn't matter to him if Heaven's Glory lost 2 more fighters. Yaren cleaned her blade on the snow and then wiped it dry on the corner of her robe.
"Iron bodies are tougher than snake leather. The man's not long for breathing, but I didn't want to stare down more remnants than I have to. The woman might hang on until her school gets here. She passed out from the pain."
He picked around the bloody snow, following Yaren up the stairs.
"Sacred artists are supposed to be beyond pain."
"No one's beyond pain," she said,
and then she stood before a tall door. It looked like wood, but it carried the eternal aura of solid rock. From within, a sound rang out like steel on stone. The note hung in the air, endless and pure.
"Seals?"
she asked, adjusting her red rope belt. Lyndon held up the stack.
"Let me hear your roll,"
she ordered, but Lyndon didn't take offense. She was stronger than any of the jades in Sacred Valley. She had more right than anyone to order him around, even if she was barely older than he was.
"I'm putting these seals into a circle in front of the door," he said. "When you lure it out, I throw a seal directly at it and run while you fight it here, where the seals on the ground can help you. If that's not enough, I come back and seal it again."
She eyed him.
"If you thought I told you to run, you heard wrong."
"I have to run to set these up,"
Lyndon said, revealing an inch of purple banner.
I'm not even running. I'm providing strategic support. Now, you have your ward key?
Remnant will tear through that like a bull through a paper door.
If he's tearing through this, he's not tearing through you.
The air of tension around her was lifting, which was a good thing as far as Lyndon was concerned. She'd been talking like someone on her way to the grave, and if she died, he wouldn't be far behind. Now he saw the distant shadow of a smile on her face, and she turned as though to respond. The door tore in half with a sound like screaming metal. He registered nothing beyond sudden light and agonizing noise before something hit him in the chest and he tumbled backward down the steps, slamming onto his back at the bottom. His body hadn't had a chance to recover since the last time he jammed his full pack into his spine, and he indulged in an instant of self-pity, imagining his rare boundary flag snapping in half. Then the reality crashed in. That door had split in two from the inside. The impact on his chest was Yeren pushing him back faster than he could react, or he would be lying at the top of the steps in two pieces. The remnant of an expert beyond gold, the spirit that they had assumed was sealed inside the ancient tomb, had cut through its restraints like an axe through a spider web. It hadn't been sealed. It had been waiting. He pushed his battered body to his feet, taking quick stock to make sure nothing was broken or bleeding. Then he saw the remnant of the sword sage. It was a mass of rippling liquid steel in the shape of a human, as though someone had poured a mirror over a man. Its face was featureless, blank, polished to a flawless reflection. It had no arms or legs, merely an uninterrupted sheet of metal, and it flowed over the ground like a snail. The remnant was far more solid, more real than any forged construction Lyndon had ever seen. The only parts he recognized as Madra at all were three hoops crisscrossing its chest. One a loop of vivid white color, one scarlet, and one inky black. The circles spun in rapid orbit around the sword remnant's chest as it surveyed the scene mirrored in its smooth face. It reflected the two bodies, and Lyndon slowly edging backwards before its gaze rested on Yeren. There, it stopped. The disciple faced her master's ghost with sword bare. She was a mundane echo of the remnant. Its red ring was her belt. Its black ring, her tattered robes, its white ring, her pale scars, and its chrome, her shining blade.
Disciple greets her master, she said quietly.
A student in her place would normally have saluted respectfully, but she kept her eyes on the spirit. For a long breath, the remnant remained quiet. Powerful enough spirits could speak, and there was no doubt that this was the most potent he'd ever seen. It would talk soon, and the reunion of master and disciple would give him time to set the boundary. The remnant had crashed through the door before he could lay seals, but he'd watch for a chance to hit it directly with one. Six limbs of liquid metal sprouted from the remnant's back, flattening and sharpening until it stood under a halo of blades. It still didn't speak. Without a word, it attacked. The remnant's main body stood like a statue, but its blades were invisible as they whispered forward. Yeren moved in response, and weapons crashed in an explosion that sent sharp ripples in every direction. The stairs under them cracked, shards of stone blasting into the air, and gashes appeared in the thick pillars. Snow split as though invisible giants hacked away at the ground with hatchets, and a nearby boulder slid into two pieces. Lyndon hopped onto the thousand-mile cloud and fed it all the Madra he could. He hadn't seen a single meeting of blades, but he heard them all, filling the mountainside in one seemingly constant note. Whatever Yeren might believe, he would never be able to approach the remnant like this. He'd never see the cut that killed him. He could only hope that she would wound it badly enough that it would lose some of its substance. Without a supply of external energy, it wouldn't recover, so it should get weaker as the fight progressed. But then, so would Yeren. A spray of blood told him that the unconscious Heaven's Glory guards hadn't made it after all. Two remnants rose from the corpses, one a string puppet of burning gold lines, and one a skeleton of yellow-tinged glass. They hadn't even straightened to their full height when more invisible blades minced them to chunks.
We don't have time for this,
Lyndon thought, as he fled as fast as his cloud would carry him. They needed to end this fight before Heaven's Glory showed themselves, but he couldn't get close enough to set up his barrier. She had already demonstrated her endless sword technique. With two experts using it, they might have been surrounded by hundreds of whirling invisible blades. To pass close enough to plant a flag would be to risk death, and if he reached the remnant with a seal, he'd be shredded. He glanced behind, in case the battle might have crept closer to him, and from farther back he could see something he hadn't noticed before. There was a small wooden hut sheltered in the shadow of the tomb, and a child in white robes was peeking around the corner at the battle. The child raised his arm, and golden light lanced toward the fight. Lyndon's heart stopped.
Elder Whitehall.
Something deflected the beam, sending it arcing into the sky, but neither girl nor remnant could spare the attention to deal with the intruder. He was the vulture, waiting for the wolf and the tiger to kill each other so it could feast on both corpses. He would never let Lyndon approach with the seals. The freezing mountaintop wind felt very close. Whitehall hadn't noticed him yet. He had a chance here, a chance to at least stall the elder and give Yeren a chance. But he had no time. Whitehall could notice him any second. He had to act now. He removed the glass ball with its azure flame, rolling it in his hand. If Suriel looked, what would she see in his fate now? Before he could think himself away, Lyndon leaped onto the red cloud and sped out in a wide arc. He couldn't move nearly as fast as Yeren could, but it was enough. He circled behind Elder Whitehall. Then, still scraping the back of his brain for ideas, he charged. In the eyes of a jade, the fight between the girl and the remnant was nothing short of spectacular. An ocean of silver sword aura gathered around them, rolling like a sea in storm. Even to Whitehall, their blows moved at a speed that he could barely catch. The disciple in black gathered aura with every motion, which condensed around her blade in a steadily increasing silver glow. She leaped, ducked, slid, and dodged, her weapon never pausing, meeting every strike from the six-bladed remnant with her own sword or a blast of razor-edged madra. Whitehall knew some peers in the Golden Sword School that would have sacrificed three fingers for a glimpse at this fight. This was a sword aspect path taken beyond anything in Sacred Valley, beyond what anyone could conceive. He drew Heaven's Glory energy from his core, focusing it according to the Heaven's Lance technique. The energy struck out in a line of light and heat, scoring the floor between the two fighters. The girl faltered, taking a narrow slash across the cheek as the glow around her sword flickered. Even the remnant slid slightly to the left. Whitehall might not have been able to kill either of them on his own, but sparrows didn't bring down hawks by attacking head-on. They nipped and circled until the larger bird collapsed from exhaustion and fell from the sky. Then, the treasures of the Sword Sage, relics of a world beyond this valley, would be his. Not only might he restore his body, he could become the first gold since the founding of the Heaven's Glory School. He leveled another golden lance when something slammed into him from behind. A thorn of pain blossomed in his shoulder as he pitched forward, and the lance of light flew wild, scorching the surface of the ancestor's tomb. But it didn't last as long as it should have, guttering out like a candle as the madra in Whitehall's body went wild. He landed face first in the snow, his insides twisting as though his intestines had tried to coil up and escape through his mouth. His spirit burned and writhed in chaos, searing him from the inside out, and he coughed a mouthful of blood under the ground. With one hand, he reached up and pulled the spike out of his shoulder. It glittered in the morning sunlight, a half-silver dagger. Whitehall turned in a fury, bloody dagger in his hand. His body was still iron and his spirit jade. He would recover in minutes. His attacker had done nothing but earn a quick death. Wei Shi Linden loomed overhead, and though his spirit made him weak, he had the body of a strong man. Even the huge pack on his back lent an intimidating cast to his silhouette. Whitehall hesitated for a mere instant of purely instinctive fear, the gut reaction of a child facing down an angry adult. His mind was still that of an expert, but there was something primal about looking up to a human being twice his size. During that half-second of vulnerability, Lyndon pivoted and planted a fist in Whitehall's gut. The impact didn't do much. Despite his advantage in weight, Lyndon still hadn't reached iron, so Whitehall had the absolute lead in strength. But pure madra leaked into Whitehall's core from outside. His training took over, and he cycled madra defensively, but he might as well have saved his effort. Nothing happened. Whitehall couldn't deny a small measure of relief. The unsold might as well have tried to put out a forest fire with a splash of water. He grabbed the young man's wrist in an iron grip, locking him in place, and took a moment to savor the sudden look of fear on Lyndon's face. Then he struck back. Lyndon was actually grateful for his experience at the 7-year festival. Without all that practice fighting 8-year-olds, he would never have been able to accurately strike Whitehall's core. Not that it mattered. in the end. He'd counted on the disruption from the half-silver dagger lasting long enough to let him land an empty palm, which would have bought him enough time to run. Whitehall would have recovered in seconds and chased him, but he'd planned for that. He hadn't planned for the Elder grabbing him by the wrist. He tried to resist, but it was as though his arm had been planted in stone. Panic bloomed in his chest, and he had time for only one panicked thought.
Too fast!
He'd shaken off the half-silver in an instant. Lyndon had never had a chance. Whitehall smiled, his lips bloody, and the expression looked demonic in a child's face. Then he turned around without releasing his grip. At the last second, when Lyndon realized what was about to happen, he slipped his free hand inside his outer robes and gripped the stack of spirit seals. He didn't even have time for fear before he was launched into the air. The Elder hurled Lyndon toward the fight. As he tumbled forward, time came into absolute focus. Though the flight must have taken a second, it felt like minutes. The remnant's six-bladed limbs flashed, Yeren's sword wove a defensive tapestry, and around them stone was sliced to pieces. With one clumsy effort, he flung the entire packet of spirit seals into the remnant's general direction. They would most likely be cut to pieces in midair, and even if they landed, they had a better chance of slapping harmlessly into the ground than touching the remnant. He needed something else. He could still feel his spirit's connection to the thousand-mile cloud, so he poured Madra into it desperately, clutching at anything that might save him. It would never reach him before he plunged into that deadly whirlwind, but he had to try. When Yeren saw him, her eyes widened, then narrowed on the falling seals. She didn't hesitate. Her defensive stance collapsed, and blood instantly sprayed up from her body in five lines as she took the remnant's attacks. Her sword gathered force like a heat haze, and as she sliced from bottom to top, a wave of colorless power tore out from her weapon. The Madra struck the remnant head-on, slashing a vertical gash in its pristine surface and knocking it back a few paces, into the falling seals. It shuddered as the scripted papers sank into its body, causing the forged Madra that made up its form to ripple like a slapped puddle. The rest of Yeren's slash whipped through the open door of the tomb, dragging a line of destruction across the tiles and blasting a man-sized tear in the interior wall. Stone crumbled away from the triangular hole the size of a doorway, and he caught a glimpse of the mountains behind the tomb before his thoughts caught up. They had won. He fell anyway. Instead of slamming into the edge of a sword or the ragged corner of torn stone, he fell into a red cloud hovering 3 feet above the ground. It caught him on the right side of his body, flipping him over, and yet again Lyndon landed hard on his back. The impact to his skull sent stars shooting through darkness, and he was sure something in his pack must have broken this time. But he lived. The battle resumed overhead, blades of invisible force whistling as they sliced through the air over his face. Covered in blood, Yeren forced the remnant back step by step. It was leaking silvery motes of essence now, and the battle slid steadily away from the door. As it did, Lyndon maintained his spirit's grip on the thousand-mile cloud. Weakened or not, the remnant's attacks were still enough to kill him, and he wanted to put as much space between them as he could. With one hand on the construct for support, he half-crawled, half-limped into the ancestor's tomb. There, he would be safe from the fight. There, he could think. He just pulled his feet in past the doorway when a line of gold heat blasted after him, missing him by inches. Part of his mind was still moving, taking stock of his options, but the rest of him was shivering terror. When Whitehall appeared in the doorway, a child in blood-stained white robes, Lyndon whimpered. The Elder took a step inside, glancing from side to side as though checking to see what other trick Lyndon had prepared. That sight was like dawn rising before Lyndon's eyes. Elder Whitehall, a jade leader of the esteemed Heaven's Glory School, was wary of him. Lyndon straightened and rose to his feet, though he needed to lean on the thousand-mile cloud to do so. Wind whistled between the open door and the gash in the side, whipping against his skin like ice, but he ostentatiously ignored Elder Whitehall and looked to the walls and ceiling as though checking on his traps. The inside of the ancestor's tomb was vast and empty, set with as many pillars on the inside as there were on the outside, and the ceiling was covered in another mural of four beasts, a blue serpentine dragon on a thunderstorm, a crowned white tiger, a stone warrior with the shell of a tortoise, and a blazing red phoenix. In the back of the room was an ornate door, presumably leading to the actual tomb, because there were no bodies here. Or perhaps that was the entrance to the labyrinth Yeren had mentioned. Whitehall brandished the half-silver dagger in one hand.
I'm not a fool. Never think that I am. I've caught on to you. You're no unsold.
Linden focused on catching his breath and tried not to betray himself.
Unsold don't have the madra to use a thousand-mile cloud.
Without the ancestral Auris fruit, he would never have been able to activate the cloud, or the White Fox boundary. Now that he thought of it, that fruit had saved his life more than once.
Unsold don't win tournaments, not even among children.
Without the empty palm, he never would have.
Unsold don't beat irons, with or without tricks.
Whitehall had actually seen the Hornet remnants defeat Amon. All Linden had needed was the strength to open a scripted jar, and the Elder had to know that. The jade in the boy's body toyed with the half-silver dagger, studying him.
I believed you must have cheated to pass the trial of glorious ascension, but now I understand. Anyone can put on a wooden badge. What are you really? Iron? You're not a copper. A copper body would have died by now, and a jade wouldn't throw away his pride.
Apologies, Elder, Linden said respectfully. This one is honored by the attention, but the Elder surely has bigger problems than this humble disciple. Whitehall nodded slowly.
I will soon. Dropping seals on a remnant in midair while calling a cloud? Those are not the reflexes of a copper.
This time, Linden did allow himself a small smile. He was proud of that one.
Whoever you are, you're traveling a fool's path.
Then Whitehall did something that Linden hadn't predicted. He flipped the half-silver dagger around, offering Linden the hilt.
Work with me.